jananda ya sajagala
Oh! Go, Rango. 人
在高人中
alabade naka adbuta senga salita hiranyaka chita namena keshava deva narahade deva jai jagadi jahade
Yeah. Thank you. Ram.
सद्वै कथान कथयो वच संप्रवाहये नारादितुं पुरुकलाय अधुनापि पिप्रु किं तोष्टुमार्हति समे हरि उग्रचेता. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons, could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. And what is to be said of me, who am not at all qualified?" Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A Vaishnav who is fully qualified to serve the Lord still thinks himself extremely low while offering prayers to the Lord. For example, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, says, "Jagar madai hoite muni se papishta, puri se rakita hoite muni se labishta." Thus he considers himself unqualified, lower than the worms in stool, and more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. A pure Vaishnava actually thinks of himself in this way. Similarly, although Prahlad Maharaj was a pure exalted Vaishnava, he thought himself most unqualified to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. Mahajano yena kathasa pantha. Every pure Vaishnava should think like this. One should not be falsely proud of his Vaishnava qualifications. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore instructed us, "Vinadapi sunichena turor iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sada hari." One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree. Devoid of all sense of false prestige, one should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly, unless one is meek and humble. To make progress in spiritual life is very
difficult.
Balad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words. Although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness, then what is to be said of me, who am not at all qualified?" Ahovalam is the place where Lord Sri Narasimhadev has been worshipped since time immemorial. In fact, it is said and believed that this is the very place that this most extraordinary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appeared. One of the most dramatic incidences that has ever taken place in the history of creation. It is said that when Lord Narasimhadev came out of the pillar, he did it in this way, specifically to prove the words of the small child Prahlad to be true. Lord Narasimhadev could have appeared in any possible way. He's the Supreme Absolute Truth who's fully independent. But how wonderful is his love for his devotee. Hiranyakashipu, burning with fervent anger, was about to kill Prahlad with his sharpened sword in his hand. He asked Prahlad, "Let me see if your God will protect you from me now. I am going to sever your head. You speak about your God. Where is he? Is he in this pillar?" Prahlad, with folded hands, very respectfully, replied, "He's everywhere, my father. Surely he is also in this pillar." Hiranyakashipu, so outraged, he got off of his throne with his sword in hand, attacked Prahlad to kill him. Such a heinous crime for such a powerful personality to murder his own son. The only was he believed in Krishna. Other than that, he was totally obedient, respectful to his father. And to all living beings. He was the friend, well-wisher. He offered the respect to everyone because he saw the Lord in everyone's heart. As he was coming toward Prahlad to murder him, Hiranyakashipu, outraged, with furious anger, struck his fist against the pillar. That transcendentally, hypnotically extraordinary sound of the shrilling of the Lord
came out of the pillar.
And at the next moment, the supreme absolute truth in this most beautiful and at the same time awesome form of Narahari appeared from the pillar. Why? Because Prahlad said, yes, my Lord is in this pillar. You could say, on the order of Prahlad, Nrsimhadeva appeared in this way. Prahlad was not thinking, I am ordering. But the Lord took it in that spirit. I must prove. I must protect my devotee in every possible way. Lord Narasimhadev was the supreme manifestation of the strength of the absolute truth. But yet, from the beginning of his appearance, he was subordinate to this little child of only 5 years old. When Narasimhadev tore Hiranyakashipu to pieces, the 33 crores of demigods, they all together sang Ahovalam, Ahovalam, which means, oh, what great strength, Ahovalam. Again and again, Ahovalam, Ahovalam, oh, what great strength. Therefore, this name of this place has, since that very time of the appearance of the Lord, been Ahovalam. It is also described how Garuda, he wanted so much to have the darshan of Lord Narasimhadev. He performed tapasya in a cave of a nearby mountain. And the fruit of his tapasya was he had the vision that if he comes here, he will see the beautiful form of Jwala Narasingha, who is situated within a cave. Garuda began to chant, Aho Bilam, Aho Bilam. Oh, what a great cave. Oh, what a great cave. The deity of Ahobala Narasingha, which many of us have visited, I think practically all of you have visited already, Ahobala Narasingha. He is the main deity of Ahobalam in the upper Ahobalam district. He is a self-manifest Shalagram Shila that appeared in this beautiful form of Ugra Narasingha. He appeared at the very time when Lord Narasimhadev also appeared. Lord Shiva came here to worship Ahovalam Narasingha, and there he composed the famous Rajapatra Stotram. In Treta Yuga, Lord Sri Ramchandra, Sita, and Lakshman, during the time of their exile, they came here and worshipped Ahovalam Narasingha, composed the Pancharita Stotram. In Dwapara Yuga, the five Pandavas, Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Sahadeva, Nakula, they worshipped the deity of Ahovalam Narasingha with great love and devotion, seeing their own beloved Krishna within this glorious form of half-man, half-lion. And it is also said that in Kali Yuga, when Srinivas appeared, who later became known as Venkateshwar in Tirupati. At the time of his marriage to Padmavati, he erected a gigantic pandal And he was inviting so many people. There was huge amounts of prasad being prepared. So he's wondering, who am I going to offer it all to? So he decided to offer this magnificent feast to Ahovala Narasingha and then distribute it to all of his most celebrated guests. And from that time, on the day where the celebration of the marriage of Padmavati and Balaji, they give donation, I think, of something 50,000 rupees to this temple in honor of Ahovalam Narasingha accepting the offerings. Shankaracharya came here and worshipped Ahovalam Narasingha, composed the Karavalam Stotram. Sripad Ramanujacharya spent much time here. He also composed beautiful prayers in glorification of Narasingha Dev. Tirumangala Alwar resided here for some time, worshipping the deity. Over the last 2 days, several of you have taken that very special journey to the Ugrastamba. It's quite amazing. I have not seen, but I have heard how some of our very old, invalid people who practically can't even make it up the steps to Radha Gopinath Temple. I have seen. Abhiram Thakur, he can hardly walk to the bathroom. Kunti, Prem Leela, Radha Priya, Sripati, Kirtida, who else? Krishna Mayi, Ishwari. Some of these people are quite old. Some are invalid. Some are young, but just not likely to succeed. So far, no one hasn't gone all the way to the top. Earlier this year, one of my very dear beloved godbrothers, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami Maharaj, he came with just a few of his associates to Ahovalam. When he came back, I explained to him that I've been thinking of taking a yatra to Ahovalam for many years now. What do you think if I bring about 400 or 500 people there? His reply is, better you just bring about 10 or 15 brahmacharis. He said, it's very difficult, very arduous, very dangerous. He said, I know your congregation, some are old, all different people, it will be very, very difficult. So, of course, I believed him. But somehow or other, we came anyway. And I'm very much amazed and impressed to see the natural enthusiasm of all of you to make spiritual progress. It's not just a prestigious, egoistic journey like being the first person to climb to the top of Mount Everest. None of you will be in any history books. The only reason is just an enthusiasm to make spiritual progress, to become purified, to give some pleasure to the other Vaishnavas. I was told yesterday, after the devotees went from the Ugrastamba, they came down to the school where Prahlad Maharaj was learning from Sanda and Amarka. And devotees were waiting, the younger devotees, for 2-3 hours for the older devotees to come. That's how they were really struggling. And as you know, those of you who have gone, you can't just walk. You have to crawl like monkeys. Your hands become your feet. And somehow or other, crawling up is difficult. But crawling down is more difficult. More difficult for 2 reasons. One is, you have to be really holding yourself from just going. And the second reason is, when you're climbing up, you can always change your mind. But when you're on your way down, you have to go down. Unless you expect some helicopter to pick you up. And the devotees at the school, each time one of the older people would come, they would just applaud and cheer their great tapasya, give them some water and kind words. So what greater attainment in life is there on our platform of consciousness than to please devotees? And I believe this was the motive, an enthusiasm to just please the devotees and somehow or other make some spiritual progress. Somehow get that mercy of Lord Narsingadev, because we need his protection so very desperately. I must say, I'm quite amazed. Hare Krishna. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even a lame man can cross mountains. What to speak of a lame old woman? A dumb man can speak eloquent verses. A blind man can see the stars in the sky. Paramananda Madhava. We should always be fixed in this faith, that by the mercy of the Lord we can overcome all obstacles. Lord Narsingha, Bhagavan, is especially that form of the Lord that helps us to remove obstacles from our path. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. It will be difficult. But if we simply make that effort, Krishna will help us. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. I think we have gotten evidence of this verse, that one who tries to surrender to me, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. The Lord appeared at the Ugrastamba. He came out of the pillar. Then he fought with Hiranyakashipu. It was a very great fight. Hiranyakashipu, up until the point where he was dead, he still thought that he would defeat the Lord. He could not conceive within his heart that anyone could possibly be better than him. He was so utterly infatuated. He considered himself to be the most
ultimately qualified person in all of creation, deserving all worship, praise, and glory. And see his son. Sometimes it is said, like father, like son. But not in this case at all. Prahlad, he was so humble. He considered himself the least qualified person, as we read in these prayers. At the entrance to the palace, it is said that that is where the Dwala Narasingha deity is presently situated. That was the entrance to the home of Hiranyakashipu, or his assembly house, where his throne was seated. When the Lord appeared as Ugra Narasingha from the Stamba, he was very angry. His anger throughout the battle got more and more and more. It increased until it came to its ultimate peak. The Lord appeared then as Dwala Narasingha, and he ripped open the abdomen of Hiranyakashipu. Sri Narasingadev Bhagavan Ki! That deity of Dwala Narasingha, which we have seen, is a self-manifested Murti from the very time of the appearance of the Lord. Seated in a cave now that was from the very place where the great demon Hiranyakashipu was killed. Dwala Narasingha Murti has eight hands. One of them is holding down the head of Hiranyakashipu. The other is holding his feet just to keep him still so the surgical operation could take place properly. Two of his hands were ripping his abdomen, tearing him to pieces. Two of his hands are taking out the intestines and putting it around his own neck as a garland of victory. And two of his hands are holding the conch shell and the chakra. Dwala Narasingha Bhagavan Ki. The demigods, they could not bear seeing the Lord in such an angry mood. So they sent water from the Akash Ganga to cool him off. As you're coming into Dwala Narasingha temple, in most seasons, I believe, there's a spray of water that naturally falls. That water filled up a kund. Narasingadev then went to that kund to wash his hands from the blood of Hiranyakashipu. It is called Rakta Kund. The water also went from Rakta Kund and formed into a river called the Bhavanashini. And it is said that whoever bathes in that river, it is the only river in this area, they will be relieved of the miseries of material existence. We have also seen the deity of Varaha Narasingha, beautiful form of Lord Varahadev. It is said that he has the head of Varaha, the body of a man, and the tail of a lion. Lord Narasingadev, one of the prominent avatars of Lord Vishnu, personally appeared as Lord Varahadev. The reason he did so is a Rakshasa of the name Soma stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma and brought them down to the lower hellish planets. Lord Varaha collected those Vedas, and as he was returning, out of his love for Bhudevi, the goddess of the earth, he lifted the earth on his tusks. So to celebrate this wonderful pastime, we see this deity of Lord Narasimha Varaha, or Varaha Narasimha, has Bhudevi very lovingly embracing the Lord's tusks as she's balancing upon them. The next deity was Malola Narasimha Dev. Ma means mother, and Lola means to lovingly embrace. In this beautiful form of the Lord, Srimati Lakshmi Devi is in the loving embrace of Lord Narasimha Dev. As they are embracing one another in their spiritual affection, they are both giving their blessings to all their devotees. Karanjana Narasimha Dev appeared under a Karanjan tree. He has four arms. He's also holding a bow. According to the local pujaris here, Kara means hands, and Anja means bow. He is holding bow in his hand to protect his devotees from all danger. Another deity that we have visited is Bhargava Narasimha. The great sage Bhargava Rishi, living in the forest at a little kund, he performed very, very deep tapasya and bhakti because he wanted so bad to see the darshan of Lord Narasimha. The Lord appeared on the top of a hill in the middle of this beautiful jungle just to please his devotee. We also visited today Yogananda Narasimha. It is said that after Narasimha Dev killed Prahlad, at this place he taught Prahlad yoga. And for those of you who have seen the deity, he has one of those yogic straps around his legs. And you know, yogis do that to somehow or other keep their legs balanced while they're doing various asanas. Now, why would Lord Narasimha Dev need that? His thighs are so transcendentally powerful that Hiranyakashipu, who was the master of the whole universe, who conquered all the demigods of all the planets, he was able to hold Hiranyakashipu on those thighs. Does he need a strap just to keep them under control as he's doing some asana? And why was he teaching Prahlad yoga? Bhagavad Gita explains, Yoginam api sarvesham madgite nantaratmana sharaban bhajate omam sameyuktatamamataha. One who is always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith, engaged in my devotional service, he is most intimately united with me in yoga, and he is the highest of all. Prahlad Maharaj was king of yogis. What does yoga mean? It means to unite with God. Krishna explains in Gita, Bhakti Mama Bijanati Yavan Yashasmi Tatvata Tatomam Tatato Gyatva Vishite Tadarantaram. Only by devotional service, undivided devotional service, can we enter into the spiritual world. We can only understand Krishna as he is through bhakti. Prahlad was the very personification of bhakti. He was the ultimate yogi because he was always remembering Krishna. The yogic process of asana, pranayama, dhyana, samadhi, yama niyama.
It is a preliminary stage of mechanical process for the purpose of somehow or other just getting the body and the mind a little controlled so that ultimately we can fix our mind on Krishna. But Krishna says in Gita, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavamam papadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. After many births and deaths of following all different religions, all different yogic processes, when one finally comes to the point of knowledge, he surrenders unto Vasudeva, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Prahlad had achieved that stage. The perfection of yoga. Why the Lord was teaching him asanas. Hare Krishna. Not because Prahlad needed to know. Not because the Lord was simply taking pleasure in doing it. But the Lord performs so many varieties of pastimes just to remember him. Do you think that Krishna needed to learn the alphabet from Sandipani Muni? Sandipani Muni taught him so many different arts. Did he need to learn that? But when devotees hear of that, their hearts melt. When Krishna stole butter, did he need butter? The pastimes of the Lord when he appears in this world are ultimately performed just to charm the hearts of his devotees. To give an intimate way in various forms by which the devotee can remember him. Lord Nrsimhadev, do you think he needed to appear as a half-man, half-lion to kill Hiranyakashipu? He's within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. He could have easily given Hiranyakashipu a heart attack. He didn't have to show his face to anyone. Within the heart, he just could have taken his Sudarshan Chakra and cut a few of the arteries. Hiranyakashipu would have just dropped dead. Why such a display of magnificent fighting, roaring, shrilling laughter, tearing him to pieces, tearing out his heart, throwing him on the ground? Why this form that no one has ever seen? It wasn't out of necessity. Whatever the Lord does when he appears is just to please his devotees. It's just to give some wonderful demonstration of the Lord's opulence for us to remember, to fix our consciousness upon. Chatravat Narasingha. Chatra means umbrella, vat means banyan tree. This beautiful form of the Lord appeared with a banyan tree serving as an umbrella. And it is said in the Mahatmyam of Ahobalam that once two Gandharvas of the name Haha and Huhu sounds like you're all repeating his names. You are all chanting the names. Ha ha hoo hoo. They began to sing beautiful songs for the pleasure of Lord Narasimhadev. And he was so pleased with them by their sincere efforts. He gave them a benediction that they would become the best of all singers. What does it mean to be the best of all singers? It means not to sing with a voice that very expertly coincides with the proper note of the particular raga that you are singing. By material standards, that's very good. I remember once a professional singer was living at the Brahmachari Ashram with me. And he said, you're the only kirtan singer I've ever heard
that never hits a note properly.
Well, I was very happy he said this,
because I was thinking that whatever anyone thinks, if this is what a professional says, then what do I have to be proud of? I'll just sing for my purification. There's no other hope.
But the best singer is the person who sings with love and devotion.
So we should pray to Chatravat Narasimhadeva to kindly give us actual love and actual devotion as we chant his holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And the world may think what they want of our voices, but Krishna will think we are the best singers if we have that sincere devotion.
And the ninth of the deities of Ahovalam is Pavana Narasingha, named Pavana because he is very, very, very merciful to the most fallen.
In this holy place, Prahlad Maharaj is offering this prayer that we are reading today. How is it possible for me, who is born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. This was the first prayer of Prahlad to Lord Narasimhadeva. It is very important to understand what we are reading today. What follows is a series of offerings of heartfelt loving prayers that are so enriched with transcendental knowledge and realization that the greatest, most learned scholars and Vaishnavas since time immemorial have worshipped these prayers. They base their life and its goal on trying to somehow or other assimilate and follow these prayers. If we want to pray, Srila Prabhupada explained, we have to learn to pray from the great devotees who pray in the scriptures. Oftentimes devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, how do we pray before the deity? How do we pray within our heart? Srila Prabhupada explained, you have to study the prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahajano yena kathasa panta. We have to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. Before Prahlad Maharaj expresses any of his feelings, his emotions, or his transcendental realizations to the Lord, first, he humbles himself. Not ritualistically, but genuinely from his heart. He reveals himself as being the most unworthy, unqualified. Our conditioned nature is we like to present ourselves as somebody very important. Or sometimes, even if we present ourselves as being the most fallen, we actually want to present ourselves as the most humble. But Prahlad Maharaj, he is presenting himself that he's born in a family of demons. And therefore, I'm a demon. My family's in the mode of ignorance, therefore I'm in the mode of ignorance. Here,
is Brahma, Shiva, Narada.
So many great sages, rishis, and devatas. They are so qualified, so much in the mode of goodness or transcendent. They have all offered prayers to you. They could not pacify you. What am I supposed to do?
This is Vaishnava. This is the common theme in all of our holy scriptures. Without this type of sincere humility, nothing we do, nothing we say, will really please the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything we speak, anything we do, if they are springing from a humble heart, they have transcendental value. Just like if you build a house without a proper foundation, it's really not standing on anything substantial. Similarly, if we're not very, very seriously trying to cultivate this principle of humility, then all the things we do in our devotional career are not standing on a stable platform. Due to false pride, we can make offenses. Due to such offenses, at any time, everything we've done just appears to just tumble down. Of course, we know in Gita nothing is lost, but it temporarily appears to collapse. And we can't even find it or see it anywhere in our hearts. Where is bhakti? Where is devotion? Where is faith? But a devotee who remains humble and sincere, like Prahlad, is always protected. Why did Narasimhadev protect Prahlad in every circumstance? Sometimes we say because he was fearless. He was fearless. But what was the root cause of that fear? His utter humility. He had no false pride. Therefore, he completely accepted that I'm totally dependent on Krishna. I'm helpless without Krishna. I cannot speak, I cannot move, I cannot act. And due to that humble spirit of Prahlad, Krishna was always manifesting himself within his heart to make him utterly fearless, to give him such faith in any situation. If you were falling from a mountain, you would probably be a little scared. Prahlad was not scared. It's not simply because he knew he wasn't this body. That was there. But over and above that, it was because he knew that I have given my life to Krishna. I'm nothing. Krishna's everything. Krishna, you can do anything you want with me. Kill me, save me, it doesn't matter, I'm yours. All good qualities naturally develop, gradually, to one who has a humble disposition before God. And before God's creation. Prahlad Maharaj explained the nature of his humility when he was instructing his classmates. He told them that the Paramatma, Krishna, is in every person's heart. Therefore, you should be respectful to everyone. When a devotee bows down, he's bowing down to the Vaishnav, and also the Lord who's manifesting himself through the Vaishnava's heart. In fact,
when you become more and more pure, as we become advanced, in our hearts, we're bowing down to every living entity. That is humility. We see the presence of God in everyone. It is explained in the Shastra that a Kanishta Adhikari, he bows down before the Lord in the temple, but he does not respect and honor the devotees. That is a very crude type of devotion that is not very pleasing to Krishna. However, when we make a little advancement, we strive sincerely to follow this principle. We worship the Lord in the temple. Similarly, we worship our superiors, our gurus, our senior godbrothers, senior Vaishnavas. We worship them as Krishna because they are giving us the inspiration, the knowledge by which we can approach Krishna. And those who are equal to us, we worship them. How do we worship them? By serving them, by becoming their intimate, loving, well-wishing friend. And those who are in a lower position socially or by certain types of etiquette, we see the Lord in their heart. We want to serve and respect, honor, and worship the Lord in their heart. How? By trying to uplift them, to encourage them. And those who are atheistic, demoniac, or even if they're in the role of devotees, but they are blasphemous, how do we worship the Lord in their hearts? By either defeating them with all humility, or by avoiding their association. This is very important. In this age of Kali Yuga, the conception of humility is practically being attacked at every moment. Even within circles of people who are devotees, many forms are being created where the principal objective is to find faults with other Vaishnavas. Whether it is true or untrue, your spiritual life will be spoiled if you hear it. Unless there's really something that you're in a position to do about it. Srila Prabhupada, when devotees had difficulties, either in the past or in the present, he would very carefully, very sincerely try to deal with it in such a way so that that person could benefit, or so that others would be protected. But to just broadcast the faults of anyone, I'd like to tell you this. Today on these emails, there are so many conferences which are simply blaspheming Vaishnavas. Anyone can say anything against anyone. If you want to take my personal advice, have nothing to do with ever looking at these things. Because it may appear interesting, but your devotional creeper will be spoiled. Your ability to respect and have faith in others will be spoiled. Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to write his books. And he told us, I wrote them primarily for my devotees to read. Do we read about these in our book, in Prabhupada's books?
We have come to this human form of life for spiritual elevation, not for all kinds of ghastly facts. Let's put it this way. In the history of the world, what to speak of this universe, but so many other universes, how many people have fallen down? What do you think? Now, if they wanted to write Puranas about these people, there could be millions and millions of slokas. But the great acharyas tell us, read Srimad Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what are those books about? The perfect devotees who gave their life in beautiful devotional service.